Our gospel text this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 17 through 20. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until it is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Will you join me in a moment of prayer? God, we, your children, listen. Speak to us now. Speak into our very beings. Turn us again to you. Amen. Last week, we talked about the word death being one of the five-letter but yet four-letter words, those words which we kind of gasp and step back when we hear being the four-letter words. And this week, I've got another doozy five-letter, four-letter word for you, one that really no one likes to hear. This week, we'll be talking about, and brace yourselves, tithe. Tithe. What is a tithe? Speaking plainly, the word means tenth. A tenth of your produce, the things that you grow in your fields, the things that wander your fields, a tenth of that. A tenth of your earnings, a tenth of your wages. And tithing as a tenth of these things is then given to the church or to a religious group as an offering. And for us, the tithe, as people of the book, finds its definition and installation in the Old Testament. Leviticus 27. Numbers 18, Deuteronomy 14, and today's text makes mention of the tithe, although it doesn't spell out exactly what it is to be. In Malachi 3, we're instructed to bring the whole tithe. And there are many other instances in the Old Testament that make mention of bringing the first fruits, even though it does not spell out what that measures out to be, the first fruits. For people like me who are still learning what growing things is all about, when do you stop having first fruits? But interestingly enough, the tithe is never commanded in the New Testament. It's only mentioned twice, or three times if you count a double in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, where Jesus tells in both stories and really gets on to the Pharisees for tithing and making a big deal of their tithing and yet forgetting other areas of ministry, works of mercy, as we might call them as good Methodists. They were neglecting other areas. And that is why their tithe was not pleasing to Jesus. And the other mention of it in the New Testament is in Hebrews, when the writer of Hebrews remembers the tithes of those who have come before, thinking back to that great cloud of witnesses which precedes us, and remembering their faithfulness in tithing. But as far as the word in the New Testament, that's about it when it comes to tithing and being commanded to tithe. However, we must be cautious not to dismiss the practice of tithing simply because it does not appear as frequently in the New Testament. We need to pause before we set aside something that was written in God's Word. Because we are a people grafted into the people of God, the people of Israel, we must take seriously God's instructions and relations with the people of Israel that we find in the Old Testament. We must take them seriously because we are grafted into. So, with the piercing words of the prophet Malachi and his word from God who has been robbed ringing in our ears, let us examine together. What is a tithe? But first, what is it not? Defining what it is not can be helpful in finding out exactly what we think it is. Whereas you might say in the South, well, I know it ain't that. First off, it's not a tip. This is not thanking God for some service rendered as we might a restaurant in which we decide, I feel pretty well served by this God today. How about 15%? Or I'm feeling a little generous today. 20. Or that service was just tip-top. Let me go 25%. It's not that. It's not a tax. We don't bill you when you walk through the door, and we don't send you a collection letter, and we don't have collection agencies. Yet. It ain't that. It's not an indulgence, some price tag you can pay to earn extra crowns or earn forgiveness for something you've done in the past or to prepay for something you're going to need forgiveness for in the future. It ain't that. It's not a spiritual price tag or a badge of courage. Jesus was warning the Pharisees of just that. It's not a bribe. Trying to convince God to give us what we really desire, as opposed to what certain programs on television might promise us, this is not a bribe. It ain't that. So what is it, you may be asking, now that I'm well into this sermon and have yet to really say anything at all? What is it? Here's what I think. It's an acknowledgement. An acknowledgement of God's being the creator, the sustainer, the provider, and the Lord of all. All things. Psalm 30 in the beginning and then again at the end seems to be convinced. The writer in Psalm 30 seems to be convinced that everything belongs to God, and everything comes from God, and that's why it belongs to God. So the tithe is returning to God what God has given us, which is why Malachi can say, "You are robbing God, because you are keeping what is not yours." Tithing, furthermore, is a means of supporting the ministry of the church. It's a resource for ministry. The Old Testament says that tithing goes to feed those who are doing the work in the temple, the Levites, the priests, those who are going about the ministries of God. The Old and the New Testament say that the tithe goes to support those in need as well as those who are ministering, the ministry of the saints, as we might hear the Apostle Paul telling us. And furthermore, tithing is a support for acts of charity. It's a way of having something to give to those who have not. At times in church history, the tithe has been imposed, especially when the church was what we might say, quote, influential, when we really could tell you what to do. And we really could have people calling you on the telephone and being like, saying, good afternoon, this is the First Methodist Church, and we are calling because we noticed that you're a little behind in your payments. At times, the church was powerful enough to do that. I don't necessarily think that's a good thing. I just think it's worth acknowledging that in our past. But it's currently not enforced and really hasn't been in any mainline denomination for at least 100 years. The people, I think, in Britain and Scotland and that area of the world held out the longest as far as requiring people to pay a tithe. Instead of giving this 10% and having it billed and being expected of us, we seem to have migrated much closer to the words of the Apostle Paul, knowing that God loves the cheerful giver. But the underlying text of that is, I'm going to give when I please. When I'm cheerful, then I'll give. I don't really think that's exactly what Paul was driving at. And I think Malachi might have a word or two to say about that as well. Maybe that you don't give when you feel like it. You give because it wasn't yours in the beginning. But our desire to work our way away from this idea of tithing as some kind of requirement may not be that far from our Methodist founder and his thoughts on tithing. You see, maybe our apple hasn't fallen too far from the tree of John Wesley, who said in a 1788 sermon, a few years before he died, I do not say, be a good Jew, giving a tenth of all you possess. I do not say, be a good Pharisee, giving a fifth of all your substance. I dare not advise you to give half of what you have, nor even three quarters, but all. Seems Wesley wasn't very fond of the idea of tithing as just 10%. He wanted it all, because he recognizes that that is exactly what God desires. All. And maybe that is a way that we can understand this word that Jesus gives us today that is somewhat enigmatic in statement, that I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. To fill it. To make it whole, that God does not want part of us. God wants all, because we belong to God. But tithing is not a requirement. It's not required of you. And we don't have payments that you have to pay in order to have the better seats, which are the ones up front, in case you didn't know. At points in our church, we have required seat payments.